Welcome to episode 23 of Green Legion Radio's Ice to Shorts Winter Sports, brought to you by Bud Light. Hello to everybody out there on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook Live. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We got big news in Diaz Nation. But first, wherever you are listening, if you are not listening to us live, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, most especially the iHeartRadio app, please subscribe, download, rate, review, share it. It helps all of us. So a little business up front, and then we will get into it. Green Legion Radio, the whole family, we're all brought to you by Bud Light. Mike Dorenzi over there does a great job for us. We appreciate you. Stateside Vodka, delivering all throughout the Philadelphia region, vodka and beer. Bourbon. I've become a bourbon guy lately, Zach.
You've been drinking it since the summertime.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that was more like when I wanted to go over the edge. Now, how about this? I've become a responsible bourbon drinker. That's a little different.
Well, you have to watch yourself now.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Of course, Ken Davies did it in all the City Fitness locations. They are now open. Cavs Rittenhouse, University City, open for takeout and delivery. Of course, our friends at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. Nexip, the safest way to drink hands-free. JP Lutz over at Bucks County Baseball Company, online and in-store. He keeps posting new more stuff. He got old Eagles, Kelly Green starter jackets. Whenever I go to buy them, someone else has already come in before me. So if you see something, you got to jump on it quick. And of course, now open, the lovely ladies at Delilah's. So,
well, the ladies themselves aren't open. The doors to the strip club are open once again, or gentlemen's club. So, guys, don't get an idea from Diaz by him misusing the words.
That language is important. Language is very important. You made a good distinction there. I apologize for that. Yes, if I offended anyone over Delilah's, I am sorry about doing that. Delilah's, the front doors are open for business. So, Zach, I got some big news for you. And I know every single week we check in here, Diaz Nation gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but we've got a new board member. Last Tuesday, one week ago today, Monroe Catherine Diaz, born at Lankenau Hospital, the newest member of Diaz Nation, and a legacy who will, the entire empire will be passed down to her at some point, hopefully long, long in the future. So I am a new girl dad. It's exciting. We were all expecting a boy. It wasn't just because I like sports or because whatever, like everyone in my family and Abby's family were expecting a boy. And the funniest thing about it, so we didn't know the gender and I wanted to know the gender. Now I don't, if we're lucky to have another one, and anyone that is thinking about it, don't do the gender reveal party. First off, the gender reveal thing is ridiculous. It starts these wildfires out in California. We've seen terrible people like Kirk Cousins almost miss his target when he was doing it. But so we didn't know. And as we were doing the prep, they said, okay, the whole staff over there, the nurses, nurse practitioners, whoever, whatever their LPN, RN, all that. What's the gender? What's the sex of the baby? And we're like, oh, we don't know. And they were like, oh, they were real excited. And then they, from there, they're like, okay, well, Dad, do you want to do the announcement? And Zach, over here, this 100% man, 100% man over here. But I do have some weaknesses, and they are a fear of heights and a fear of blood. So I wasn't going anywhere on the other side of the curtain. We had Abby had a C-section. So I'm like, hell no, like, no. I'm staying. You guys can like, and I'm like, no, you guys can make the announcement. The staff was like, oh yeah, like this is the greatest time in their work day because normally there is no surprise, first off. And then they got to make the announcement. And when I'm sitting there with Abby on the other side of the curtain and we're both so nervous, like I was more nervous than when I was getting married. Probably the most nervous I've been in my life. I don't know why. And then, man, when they announced it's a girl and everyone started cheering, it was like a punch straight here. It was like, boom. And we're straight in the middle of your chest, man. And it was just like this flood of, release of stress and anxiety and happiness and endorphins and adrenaline, like all whatever the hormones your brain really, all the, it just came flooding all over. It was amazing. Everyone says it's the best day of your life and stuff like that, but it was the rush. If pharmaceutical can package that that release of everything, it would be the most popular drug on the market right now. Yep, girl dad, just like Kobe, who we honored a couple weeks ago when of his passing. It's pretty exciting. I'm happy to join the club, Sack. I learned from the best of them. You're a great dad, and your sports takes are questionable, but you certainly have good advice as a dad. So before we get going, what do I need to do, Sack? Help me out here. I'm new here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to do it the best I can. Give some words of advice for a newbie over here.
Well, first of all, congratulations again to you and Abby and Monroe. We are with myself, Rachel, Jacob, and Carson. We are thrilled for your whole family. It is the most beautiful event of your life. It will never get better than that. And I always love it when people go, it's the best day. You know, when the Eagles won the world, they won the Super Bowl. It's the best day of my life. Like, it eclipses it tenfold. It is unbelievable. You're right. The rush, no matter how tired you are, exhausted you are, and you're just the father. You're not even going through what the mother is going through.
Oh, gosh.
What she had to go through. It's like from top to bottom, like as soon as the baby comes out and you're just so relieved and you get the skin to skin with the baby and mommy and you're the daddy and you're sitting there putting your finger right there and the baby grabs you by the finger. It's your first high five or handshake, however you want to qualify it. It's the coolest thing in the whole entire world. As a new dad, listen, man, it's like I told you, the first couple of weeks are going to be rough. You're barely going to get any sleep. You're trying to figure out the baby just like the baby's trying to figure out you and mommy. And really, in reality, man, like you got to think about what that baby just went through. It's been in your wife's stomach for the last 9 months. And then all of a sudden it comes out and it's like it doesn't have that comfort, that warmth anymore. So, like, dude, as much as you can hold her, as much as you can keep her warm and cuddle her and take naps with her, dude, do it. Take all those baby smells and enjoy it, man, because someday you're going to have your almost 5-year-old and almost 2-year-old telling you to smell their feet. Like I get right now, and the exciting moments of pooping on the potty and flushing it and all that stuff. And, you know, like right now, you just got done dealing with the black poop.
Yeah, the tar.
Yeah, the tar. You just got done dealing with that. And man, like, you know, you're going to get spit up on, you know, multiple times and you're going to have to change your shirt. And then eventually you're going to go, why am I even changing my shirt? She's going to spit up on it again anyway. So, like, dude, just enjoy every single moment. You and Abby are going to be awesome parents. It's going to be a blast. We can't wait to meet her. We got some things coming for her. I know some things that'll make you proud and some things that won't. But we got to take care of her Flyers gear on my end.
Oh, gosh.
So, dude, we're so happy for you, man. We're so happy for you guys.
Well, we got our good friend, one of my arch villains, Sean Henderson, checking in with a congrats. I appreciate that, Sean. We both do. And thanks for joining us here. It's pretty great, man. And you know what's weird? Like being girl dad, like it's, you know, excited. You look at her and be like, what is this person going to turn into? Like, you know, she was sports. Is she going to be a basketball, lacrosse or field hockey or softball? Or is she going to be involved in dancing and she's going to be real into dance? Right. Or is she going to be into music and make music or art or something like that? It's just like, you know, and everyone probably feels the same way. It's like, you feel like you've like all the mistakes you've made and this is like a fresh canvas. You know, she's it's brand new and you know, the world is opening up. So
just a word of advice on what I've learned of being a dad for almost 5 years. You know, like the one thing that I know for sure that I don't want to do, and my dad didn't do this with me, don't try and live your unfulfilled, you know, dreams and fantasies through your children. I want my children to find their own path. And like, listen, as much as I enjoyed playing soccer and growing up and being the player that I was and how much my parents took pride in watching me play, like to me, like if my boys don't play soccer and they find their own path and they want to be a baseball player, or they want to do, acting, in the drama club, whatever their passion is in life, all you have to do as a parent is support it and guide them down wherever they need to go. But I want them to take their own dreams and make it their own. That's the one thing that I know I'm not going to force on my kids.
That's a great point. Now, we won't have that problem with Monroe because, you know, I fulfilled pretty much everything I set out to do in this world. We won a Super Bowl, you know, All-State Soccer, won a ping pong champion, IFA Sports 1997. I'm a member of Athletes Row, Green Legion Radio, traveled to London to see the Birds. And now I'm doing Ice to Shorts Winter Sports with USAC. And, you know, maybe we see a Sixers or a Flyers run here this spring. So we won't have to worry about me trying to force her down one road or the other. But I will tell you one thing. She will not appreciate Dallas. She will not appreciate the LOL Mets or the LOL Knicks. That's it. And then anything else whatever she wants to do is fine with me.
As long as Tampa doesn't win another damn thing this year, that's all I care about.
It's a great sports town down there, Tampa. Yeah, they've been rocking.
Yeah, nothing against the GOAT. He is the GOAT. He's got 7 rings. But those schmucks down there in Tampa don't give 2 flying craps about professional sports.
No. Nope.
Yet they win a Stanley Cup, they go to a World Series, and they win a Super Bowl all in the same calendar year, all within the last, 4 or 5 months? And here we are. You know, they've equaled the amount of championships that we've had in my lifetime. The 08 Phillies and the 17, the 17 Eagles. I mean, for you, do you have any, remembrance of the 83 Sixers?
No. For most sports, I really probably it's later than you think. I mean, everyone's like, oh, I remember when I was in first grade. And for me, I really started kind of paying attention to probably baseball first, Phillies, like 1986. 1986 was like the first, like the Mets Cardinals World Series. I vividly remember watching
The Mets Red Sox World Series.
Oh, Mets Red Sox, right. Yeah, the Mets Cardinals was Mets Astros?
Mets Astros. Yep. I was just about to say. Close.
Yeah, like I got Ray Knight's baseball card, the 87 Tops back, and I thought it was great because he scored the winning run and everything. Ray Knight on the Mets, but that's what I really remember. My earliest Eagles memory is probably the Fog Bowl, and then Sixers. We didn't have Prism growing up. I didn't really watch it. My mom likes sports but doesn't care to follow it. My dad, immigrant guy from Colombia, doesn't really care about Dr. J and the Sixers. I knew that Charles Barkley was on the team. I knew that Dr. J was on the team. I probably never saw them play, never in person for sure. But hopefully we get some. Hopefully we get some good vibes going here in the spring for these two teams. So
I think I told you before my first favorite Sixer. I've told you this before, right?
No.
Clarence Weatherspoon.
Oh yeah, baby Barkley. Yeah,
that was my guy growing up. I you guys were breaking my balls about the fact that I liked those uniforms.
Those uniforms are the worst, dude.
Oh man,
the wave of stars. Oh my, going back, they dig the classic. They destroy the classic jersey they won the championship with, and to go to that. Oh my gosh, it was like. Really, until they came out with these newest ones, like that's like 15. That was what, 92 they started with those,
probably around there. Yeah, man.
And so, and they all the way through, almost 25 years or something like that. We got breaking news. First off, I want to say, give a shout out to Steve Hendricks, also a girl dad, just became in March. And this is breaking as of right now, Zach. I don't know if you can see this. We've got a newest member, another new member to Diaz Nation, Sean Henderson. Girl's dad means Team Diaz. Sean Henderson, newest member of Diaz Nation. Welcome. We appreciate you. If you can't stick around because you have things to do with your girls, don't worry. You can just subscribe, download, and listen tomorrow when it's posted all over the place. So
disappointing, Sean. Disappointing.
He likes being right. We're not going to talk about Eagles. Like, there was no Wentz trade today, and
we would be talking about it if it did go down today.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, we wouldn't talk about any of this other stuff.
No hold barred. Yeah.
Yeah. We wouldn't. But man, how the the feelings of all these teams change so rapidly in like a year. Flyers have always been like waiting for the young guys to come up and perform. And, you know, it was a disappointing playoff run last year, but overall it was, you know, a positive season of growth. They got some lumps and hopefully they learn from them and get better. Da, da, da. Right. But Sixers, like at the end of the Sixers season, I was like, I'm still going to love them and go to the games and watch the players. But like they're aimless. There's no direction with this team. They have no cap space and all that and da-da-da, no trade pieces. Then they get Morey, make a couple of moves. I don't think that they're you have to consider them a contender this year if you need to pick like
without a doubt
five or six teams. But I'm not like – I'm not all hyped up that this is going to be a championship year. Although, listen, if I'm wrong, great. And then the Phillies, you know – they were when the Sixers season went over, Phillies were in a playoff position and like not even a collapse, just like it was just like, what do they need? Two wins in their last 10 games or something? Yeah. What was it?
Yeah, it was
two wins.
I think it was two in their last nine and they won one. And then all they needed to do was win that Sunday. And like they, you know, the Brewers lost, the Giants lost, and then we couldn't even get by. It was just, like, you're right. I mean, the ebbs and flows of these teams, it's unbelievable.
Right, and I was like, you know what? I'm done with this team. The Phillies, like, wake up. I don't like any players. I don't hate any players. But we've talked about this before from, like, the golden age of our lives of Phillies baseball. I loved every player on that team. They were all homegrown. Man. I saw them grow. But these guys, it's like I have no connection with them. And then, you know, okay, they re-sign JT. They bring in Didi again. They kind of make some bullpen changes. They get Dombrowski. And I'm like, okay, you know.
Now we have some hope.
A little bit of hope here. Yeah. And then the Eagles, who I thought was in the best position of all of them, except maybe some of the draft picks, obviously. And this Wentz thing, it's just, it's funny. There was a guy when Abby and I went on our honeymoon, we did a European cruise, through Italy, Croatia, Greece. It was amazing. It was like a 2.5 week cruise. You know, you meet people on these cruises, you see the same people. And this one guy, who we ended up all getting along with, like a bunch of newlywed people, like, overly cliche, but he lives down in Florida. He's a Bears fan, so he wrote me this morning. He wrote me an email like, "Hey, like, what's going on? Like Wentz and all that." And it was like, he had no idea about any of this stuff. You know, he knew that he played bad last year, but just the drama, the attitude that he's saying, all that stuff. He's like, was blind. So I kind of had to fill him in, and I sent him a couple of those articles. Our good friends at Philly Voice, Anthony Santoliquito. Matt Mullen, who was on the show before, like some of the reporting they've done. And it's just like, I said, listen, you know, Sack, and you were a Wentz defender. You know, as much as I was, he was my favorite player. Still I just, he was playing like crap. But I said, you know, even like the harshest defender now, just like the attitude and the drama and the divishness behavior, like we're just like done with Wentz, and it's like, how did we get here, dude? How did we get here?
Nobody gives a crap about diva-ness and a franchise quarterback if you're winning.
If you're winning, that's right. That's
if
true.
You're winning,
right?
So like this stuff is like completely out the window if the Eagles are successful and they're winning, and they're not. And like I look at it like this. This has been a complete and utter disaster. What has happened to the Eagles? The fact that we're here right now in this moment in time with Carson Wentz is absolutely pathetic. And it's all because of our, you know, boy wonder general manager who nobody seems to see the problem. And it's like I sent to you guys yesterday. It seems like right now the owner and the head coach can get a hold of him, but the general manager can't. And now I don't know how he overshot his hand. He might have had a pretty good deal on the table, and he was using the Colts and the Bears against one another. Well, guess what, Howie? They can call each other too.
And, yeah.
And now the Colts apparently are showing some interest in Matt Ryan, and Russell Wilson might be asking his way out of Seattle. Like,
oh, I didn't even see that today.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, oh, my God. His representatives are getting sick and tired of the fact that he's been sacked like 394 times in his career there. And they can't protect him. They've never invested an offensive line in him. They just expect him to run around and do whatever. And I'm sorry. Like, everybody wants to sit there. Did anybody just watch the Super Bowl like I did? because all I saw was all I heard all year long was if you took Pat Mahomes and you put him behind the Eagles offensive line, he would still win games with that offensive line. Well, did anybody see him play in that Super Bowl? Now I said all along, and I've been saying for weeks since the matchup was known, I said across all boards here, Green Legion Radio and Ice the Shorts, and then our prop bet show the other day, the key matchup of that Super Bowl was going to be the defensive line for the Bucs versus the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. And if they could maintain and get to them, there was 29 pressures on Patrick Mahomes the other day. 29, that's the most in Super Bowl history on a quarterback. If you don't have protection, you can't get your number one weapons open and your secondary weapons open, and it showed all day long. And that's what Carson Wentz had to deal with. Not saying that Carson didn't play like crap, but the offensive line and the protection lack thereof was a big reason for it.
It's we're doing a little Green Legion Radio switch up this week. So we're going to be on Thursdays and we'll talk all about it. But like, I mean, Mahomes, man, some of these throws, he's like parallel to the ground, sidearm, 45 yards. You're like, oh my God. Like, it was the best play of the game and it was an incomplete. But anyway, we said that we weren't going to get into it, and we did. But
just a little bit. It's okay.
We're going to be real short and sweet here. Let's just do a check-in on the Sixers. It's been a couple weeks. We'll do a check-in on the Flyers, same thing. And then we'll get out of here because we got game tonight, at least for the Sixers. So right now, let's just do a brief update. Sixers, as of today's recording, Sixers are 17-7, first place in the Eastern Conference in the last couple weeks. They had nice wins versus the Lakers. At Minnesota, that win at Indiana where they came back in the fourth quarter, great.
And I know you were upset about me with that Lakers game. I'm sorry.
We'll get into that. All right, we'll come back here. A terrible loss versus Portland on the back to back, but they were home and they were missing Portland was missing their two big guys. The Brooklyn game, hey, you know, the season is so weird. A win is a win.
Second time we've dodged KD.
Yeah, I mean, a win is a win is a win. So the Sixers schedule coming up for the next, they have their last 12 games beginning tonight in Sacramento are actually really pretty kind of tough here. They got a 4-game road schedule here coming up at Sacramento, at Portland, at Phoenix, at Utah. All of those places have good teams playing at home. Even Sacramento, like, that's not a gimme win. De'Aaron Fox is playing great this year.
And even though there's no fans, those have always been historically tough places to play, especially Utah when you have to deal with, with the altitude.
Well, yeah, and all the racists in the fans, that in the stands.
Well,
too.
They're not going to be. Are they in the stands? Do they?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
I know Atlanta does. I mean, we saw last week.
Well, they have Utah's, you know, the hottest team in the league right now, and they've got them twice in the next couple of weeks. One on the road, I think. What will that be, next Sunday or Monday or something? And then we got them the last game before the break is at Utah. Utah comes in here. Then we have the 2-game series at Toronto, home versus Dallas, home versus Indiana, home versus Cleveland. Like, you know, it's a tough little end of the schedule. We'll see where they go here. I see them. They'll probably go 7-5, 8-4. If they're any better than 8-4, it makes me even believe in this team a little bit more. It's just a funky year. I was talking with a buddy today here and, about a guy who lives down in Richmond, and you know, just talking about what's going on, and sort of like with your comments here, like I could see this team being they're better than they are last year, and maybe their win loss percentage is better this year. I could see him getting a first seed. I could also see him losing in the second round or the fourth seed if that fourth seed is like the Nets or the Celtics, or, you know, a couple of other handful of the Bucks. I mean, this year is so weird with this COVID crap. Players sitting out for health reasons, which I believe in generally, but just this compressed travel schedule is ridiculous. You know, the Sixers are in first place. It's better to be in first place than not in first place. And like, is it real? Yeah, it's real. They're in first place. They won, you know, they've got the best record in the East right now. But, you know, like, is this a dominant? Are they playing like the Lakers or the Clippers? No, there's certainly some holes in the team, and we'll talk about it. What do you got for me here, Sam?
Yeah, just a quick advantage about being the top seed. I mean, if you wrap yourself up and you clinch a playoff spot and you clinch a top seed early, that's more time that you can give to Joel at the end of the season to rest.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. Do you want to go in there? You want to be cohesive as a unit? Absolutely. But we all know, man, and we've seen it. We've all been holding our breath like the last couple weeks. He's had a couple scares. The Lakers, when you know, with that foul from LeBron, the what looked like a hyperextended knee the other
twice. Yeah, there was two of them. Yeah,
it's just like, you know, really, like, dude, he's so dominant right now. It's like he could put up 30 in the first half, and like you don't even need the like. Doc has had the luxury in some of these games, like he could have put up 50-55, but like he's sitting on 37 and doesn't have to play the fourth quarter. It's just unbelievable the like how he's playing right now. And I know I've broken his balls many times in the past, and Chick-fil-A will always be a go-to, but I got to give credit where credit is due. Like, I don't understand why LeBron is number one in the sports books right now as far as like being in the lead for MVP. Like, yeah, LeBron is a great player, but they have another great player on that team in Anthony Davis. I don't see that on the Sixers. And you see when he doesn't play, it's a different Sixers team. And they had a big comeback that one game that he sat out.
Indiana, yeah.
Yeah, but like all in reality, man, like this team is a much different Sixers team when Joel Embiid is on the floor, whether he's off that night or whether he is on the bench. It's just a completely different Sixers team. And that's not a slight against Dwight Howard. He has been a fantastic signing for the Sixers this year as the backup center.
Yeah, he has been. It's been great to have him. He's kind of been dropping off a little bit in some of the stuff. He's just playing a little bit sloppy. I'm happy we got him. It'd be nice if he could shoot a little bit. But man, talk about like rebounding and around the basket, the dunking. Like that dude is like just such a good rebounder. Which is it's kind of like, well, the ball goes up, you go for it, you get right. It. But man, he is so strong getting rebounds. I think what Dwight is, maybe he's too jacked up in his shoulders and his hands.
Oh, he always has been. He always has chicken legs.
Yeah, and he's just got like this great grip. That's why he shoots so bad from the free throw line, because he's just crushing the ball, you know. And so, but that's how he gets those rebounds, man. It's been good to have.
I actually like him more for his leadership. I mean, how many times have we seen him after the game with the younger players shooting, like having a little shoot around after a game and working on things? Like, you know, he's been to the promised land. He went there with Orlando and he lost to the Lakers, but then he went back last year when he was with LeBron and AD and he won his first title. So like things like that, when someone has been there, you know, they know how to get there, and that right there is going to be invaluable once they get to the postseason.
It's great. So a couple things here before we move on to the Flyers. You know, we argue about this on Green Legion Radio all the time, and I'll never get through with Quimby because, you know, it's Ben Simmons can't shoot. I think what we see what happens when Ben Simmons is in the lineup. They're a better team when he's on. In fact, they've got a worse record when Simmons is off than when Embiid's off. But, you know, that doesn't really mean a whole lot. But Tobias Harris, highest played player on the team. He's probably, I don't have it in front of me. Someone in the comments want to help me out. He's probably like the 12th highest paid player in the league. He'll never live up to that contract. But is he an all-star this year? What do you think?
He's played well. He has definitely played well. And I think having Doc there, because he had his best years of his career when he played for the Clippers and he played for Doc. I'm not surprised by it. Doc knows how to utilize his skill set. He knows what makes him work. What makes him tick? What buttons he can press on him? I'm excited for Tobias. I like Tobias. You know, it's the sad part in sports sometimes is the fact that, you know, like it's not Tobias's fault that Elton Brand walked up to him and said, "Hey, we're gonna make you a top five paid player in the league. Here, sign on the dotted line." Like, I'm sorry, if my boss walked up to me and said, "Hey, I'm gonna pay you X amount of dollars, but it's like 20 times more than what you're worth." Am I going to sit there and argue that with him and say, Hey, guess what, man? Like, really, I shouldn't sign this. Like, no, I'm going to sign the hell out of that damn thing, even though I'm not worth it. So like, you know, that's always going to be something that hangs over his head, unfortunately. But I don't think anybody's going to complain about the contract as long as the team succeeds. And if he goes to the All-Star game, so be it. Good for him. I'll be happy for him because, like I said, he's a good dude. He's great in the community. He's a great guy on the, you know, as far as a leader on this team. I think he should be an All-Star. But, you know, I've said this before. I don't weigh too much on the All-Star thing. And I think in reality, they shouldn't even have an All-Star game. It's the dumbest thing that Adam Silver has done as a commissioner. And
we'll get
and I'm going to be steadfast on that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I want to hear your opinion on it. I think with Tabata, like the thing, like everyone's going to focus on the contract. Just a couple things to put it in perspective. This doesn't mean it was good or okay. All right, Quimby, if you're listening, it doesn't mean if it's good, it's good or okay. But there was going to be other teams that offered him a max deal. There just were. There were other teams. Now, I don't have them. You know, the Sixers paid more than any other team could have. And I think getting a little, we want our teams to go for it. They made the Jimmy Butler trade. We all knew Jimmy Butler wanted to go to Miami before he was even traded to Philly. They went for it again with Harris. They spent a whole lot. Do we fault them for going for it? No, it didn't work out. But then you're left with nothing. They just didn't want to have egg on their face and walk away. But is it a silver lining? No. But the longer this contract of Harris is going, like the less bad it will be. I mean, you know, last year he had 4 years left. Now he has 3 years left after this year. So it makes it a little bit more easily tradable. Right now, I think he's stepped up on defense. He's hitting all the shots. What's good? What makes me afraid is that, you know, he does a Tobias cold spell when he's like 2 for 28 from three or something like that, which will turn the whole town against him pretty quick. But yeah, talking about this NBA All-Star game, I was waiting for folks like you. From our good friend Henderson, my buddy Kev, Rob Roy and Ian, I call them the Access of Evil, an NBA game, like NBA All Stars, just vote for them. It's, you know, it's fun for the fans and all that. They're holding an actual NBA All Star game in a few weeks, in a month or something like that. Not only that, they're going to have the skills challenge and the 3-point shot competition.
Isn't that for the fans?
It is, but it's also kind of like, what? Forget about COVID for a second here. Well, no, we'll get back. Well, COVID's like the main thing.
It's the main thing.
You've got guys like traveling all over the place. The schedule was ridiculous. I said it from the beginning. The NHL had a better plan of just doing 2-game series versus the same teams over and over and over, as opposed to the Sixers going tonight. They're in Sacramento, then they're in Portland in 2 days, then in Phoenix in 4 days, then in Utah in 6 days, then back home, Houston, then Chicago, then down to Tampa where Toronto is. It's like that's ridiculous. Forget about that though, but like, they compressed the schedule to get as many games in as they could. You know how I feel about the back-to-back and the schedule losses. It's real. It's not a thing. The teams that are coming off a back-to-back win less often than with normal rest. That's all it is. So a team that has a 600% or a 60% winning percentage, when they play off back-to-back, it's 48. That doesn't mean that they're going to lose the game or they're not trying. It just means they're tired. You know, the Lakers are 80% of their games. Well, when they come off a back-to-back, they win 65% of the games. They're still winning most of them, but it's just a little drop-off. They have more of them this year to squeeze them all in, and then they're not giving them a break. Your best players who you want healthy in the playoffs. Sack, feel free to unload on David Silver and the NBA for this ridiculous idea.
All right, well, first of all, you just combined David Stern and Adam Silver.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. He's a snake.
Real quick, Steve.
I'm thinking of Beverly Hills 90210. What do you want me to do?
Steve Sutter on our comment section here. NBA All Star Game is Christmas morning for the Kardashians. Well, listen, but we all know that the Skills Challenge, the main stars don't do it anyway. So now you're going to have to fly in about another 15 to 20 guys to come in there to cover. Like maybe Steph Curry might do the 3-point shootout. But like the dunk contest is normally 5 guys that you don't know because LeBron won't do it, which is what people have been pandering about for all these years. But it is such a stupid move, Like you're already flying these guys all over the country. And you're canceling games because they don't have enough players to go. And then you're making teams like the Sixers play a game with seven guys,
players
and 7 guys, but they dressed 8, but Mike Scott only had to dress because he had a knee injury and they had no intent in playing him. So what are we trying to achieve here? Are you trying to get through the season and get to the most important part, which is the playoffs? Or are we trying to fit in an all-star game, which means absolutely nothing? And if you're not listening to your stars, which is every single damn one of them. I don't know what the hell Chris Paul and the Players Association did. Who did they talk to? Like Tyrese Maxey? You know, Matisse Thybulle? Like, hey, is this a good idea for us to play an NBA All-Star game, even though you guys have no shot? Because they sure as hell didn't talk to LeBron or Kawhi or Joel Embiid or the Greek Freak. Like, all of these guys, I know Embiid will go and play, but I don't want Embiid to go and play.
I don't know, man. He was against the going down to the bubble and playing. He said that he didn't think they should. Now, we didn't know it at the time, but
the bubble,
you know,
he knew you were going to be down there for at least 3 weeks. So, like, I think he looked at it like that. Like,
well, and his Brazilian Sports Illustrated swimsuit model girlfriend Anna DePaula was like about to give birth to his son, right? So I understand not wanting to do that. We didn't know that at the time, though.
Why don't we look at it like this? Okay, so like, this isn't like the baseball All-Star game where you're going to have a representative from every single team, but right, you're going to have at least one or two representatives from your best teams in the league. All it takes is one of these guys to carry that damn virus into one of those locker rooms, and then they give it to them in the locker room, and then they bring it out to the court and they play the game, and you give it to the other ones. The next thing you know, the Lakers are shut down, the Sixers are shut down, the Bucks are shut down because you're going to have an outbreak. And it's a I have no idea what the hell Adam Silver is thinking. Like, maybe you're looking at dollar signs, but the real dollar signs are in the postseason. Get to that first.
Right. And that kind of goes to this last point here. I mean, for you, Zach, because you're like, you know, you're a fan. It's just not, you're not going to follow the ins and outs of the NBA all the time. Seeing how this whole year has gone and seeing how other teams are doing, handling their players, like, and then seeing, you know, especially the back-to-back last week with, who did they play on the road? Was it Detroit then Portland or Charlotte and Portland?
Detroit.
Yeah.
Well, they rested Blake Griffin that night.
Yeah. Whatever that back-to-back was, and then Embiid coming out and playing 34 minutes in Portland, and they were really never – he played well, he got his numbers. But then,
smoked in the third quarter.
Yeah, they got smoked, and then he's still out there, and you see the guy go into his knee. It's kind of like, you know, it's – listen, just pull the guy. It's what Brooklyn did with Harden on Saturday night. We all saw it. Like, it was tied at halftime. Then, you know, Doc made the adjustment to put Simmons directly on Harden. Let's take a sidebar right here. For some fans there, they'll scream and yell, why didn't he start the game that way? Listen, he made adjustments at halftime. I think what they wanted to do is to see what they got, and it has been the Sixers have been doing generally, except for that Portland game, is in the third quarter, kind of turned it up a little bit on both ends. So it's like, sit him, man. If the game's out of reach, you know, that's what happened with Harden with Brooklyn. I don't want to lose, and like, it's just like, we're Philly tough, derp, we win all the time. It's like, man, we're down 18 points in the third quarter. Like, just like, keep the guy healthy, man. It's so much more important than any one regular season game, you know?
You know, I got to give Doc credit, though. At least he made halftime adjustments, unlike Andy Reid.
That's true, but I don't think Andy Reid had any linemen to go to. Hey, good friend, Green Legion traveler and fellow girl dad, Captain William Demps, checking in. What's up, my man? I talked to Cap a couple weeks ago. We talked about the show. We talked about the birds. We talked about being dads. It's great. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see everybody again. Suter, Demps, the whole Legion Legends crew, who sent my wife a couple of nice baskets. We really got to get back out there. But this sounds like such a cop out or an excuse or an apologist. It's just like this year is so messed up where, you know, the Sixers are a better team this year. Maybe they have end up with a better record. But I could see them losing the second round again, and I'm going to have to listen to Hollis just because they're facing the Nets or someone that gets hot. Like, this year is so messed up. Hopefully just keep Embiid healthy, keep doing this. I think that they're going to pick up another, like, big guy that can shoot a little bit. Dwight Howard, Ben Simmons, and Matisse Thybulle should never be on the floor together, but that's kind of what they got right now.
Listen, man, don't worry about it. I'm actually looking forward to that moment, because then Hollis will move off of me with Carson Wentz, and he'll move on to you with the Sixers. So, you know, it's a fair trade. It's not a problem.
I like when Hollis is attacking you, not me. That leads us in here, and we'll talk a little bit about. I want to get back to that Lakers game from a couple weeks ago that you and Kyle made me go absolutely insane, and that was without any bourbon. But
really, that was no aid of bourbon.
No, I mean,
I'm shocked to hear that.
I had a bourbon during that show at the end, but it wasn't like one of my normal bourbon rage fueled thing. So, you know, looking at the Flyers, it's kind of like big picture and then big picture and small. Like, hey, man, Flyers as of yesterday, but today, second most points in the league. They've got 8 wins. They are the top scoring. Goal-scoring team in the league, you know, that's what you want from the beginning. They're about, what, a third of the way through or a fourth of the way through?
Well, 56 games. And really, in reality, the true thorn in their side, they've lost 5 games, 3 in regulation, 2 in overtime. The 2 in overtime are to Boston, one of which we blew the game with terrible penalty. The one was an awful penalty called against Kevin Hayes. Which was like, it was brutal with 2 minutes left in the game. Pasternak scores with 17 seconds left, it was 14 seconds left to force the game practically to go to overtime. Lawton takes a dumb penalty, which we have to start out on the penalty kill. And then Pasternak, you know, just finishes his night off. Well, hey, on top of the hat trick, why don't we just get the game winning assist to Bergeron? But the true thorn in our side has been the Boston Bruins. Two of our 3 regulation losses are against them, and both of our overtime losses. So if you look at how we've played against the rest of the division, we've played very well, but we have to get better when it comes to playing the Bruins. They are the creme de la creme right now in the whole entire league. And, you know, I've said it all along that when we went into our season preview on the Flyers, like, everybody wants to sit there and say that we're in the division of death. I don't think so. Like, the Devils, they suck. The Rangers, they have proven to suck. The Islanders are proven to be pretty much what they were, average again. You know, Capitals are old. I still have Ovechkin, and they still have Backstrom. They still have a very formidable top line. But their goalie the other day, we destroyed him. We destroyed him. Chara is old. Like, you know, like that right there. Boston is the one team in the division where you sit there and you go, that's the team when we get to the playoffs we're going to have to beat. And as long as they keep on playing well, but now we're going to be off the ice for what it looks like to be at least the next week. Travis Sanheim was placed on the COVID list before the Capitals game the other day. And here we are on Tuesday, and it turns out that Claude Giroux and Justin Braun have COVID now, or they're at least on the list. Doesn't mean they might have been a close contact. Right now, both of them have to stay away from their families. Giroux has a 1-year-old boy. Justin Braun has a 5-year-old. So now they have to quarantine away from their family, more like I did about a month ago. So I feel for them with that. And the Flyers were already going to have a couple games canceled this week because they were slated to play the Devils in 2 games. I believe it was supposed to be Thursday and Saturday. Those games were already postponed. And then because of what happened today, they postponed the Capitals game tonight. So I'm hoping that the Flyers can get back on the ice sometime next week. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, I think the Flyers would be able – the Flyers have proven that they can win in the playoffs without Giroux producing anything. So I think that they would be able to win games without him producing at all as well. So they've shown some resilience in that. Some leadership by Claude Giroux going out clubbing. You know what? Is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence? I'm not saying it is there, but maybe, you know, Delilah's is there. He got a little, intoxicated, breaking protocol, trying to get closer. Maybe they didn't. He's a VIP. We don't know what to do. Of course, that wouldn't happen because Delilah's is taking all
safety. So are you taking a shot at me getting COVID, saying I was irresponsible? And I was
jackass. I mean, you know, you're being irresponsible by double lettering every time you go on a show. Today it's Phillies.
I more so do it for you. And I'll tell you what, man. This hoodie is damn comfortable. It's a thin hoodie, I'll tell you what. Like, I think I've worn it on like 3 of the last 4 shows. But, you know, hey, I'm recovering right now. So
that's right. I should take it easy. Well,
I am recovering.
I don't know if this is going to take easy. You're saying that they're playing well and, you know, they had a problem with Boston. But, like, out of the last 10 games, they've given up leads in like 6 out of 10 games. They're like, they're terrible on the power play. They're terribly terrible with the penalty shots.
No, actually, the power play, we're 12th in the league. Penalty kills where we're
right. I'm sorry. I messed up the verbiage on that. Okay, the shots on goal, like it's.
Oh, we're terrible.
It's comical.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy how they score. You know, they've got like a plus minus. You know, a plus in the plus minus, like plus five or something like that in goals scored, goals against. But like, they get like, you know, you look at the box score, and you know, I'm not a box score only watcher, but like 35 shots against 19-4. You're like, what are they doing? They can't get shots off. It's ridiculous. But more importantly, like giving up the lead in these games, they're 8-5 or 8-3-2. All of those losses, they had the lead. And I believe 3 out of their 8 wins, they've had the lead.
I wouldn't say all of them, because the one that we lost to Boston in Boston, it was 1-1. We were down 1-0. JVR scored 1-1, and we got blown out 6-1. So I wouldn't say, you know, we didn't have the lead in that game. But listen, it's the scary part about this is even despite the inefficiencies of this team, they're still finding a way to win. The scary thing is when eventually they turn that around, and it starts on the defensive side of the ice. And that right now, it starts with the penalty kill, and it starts with, you know, being sound structurally in their defensive zone. I think the Flyers are eventually going to make a move for a defenseman at the trade deadline. They need to get somebody to pair alongside Provorov. They've tried multiple people. They, you know, with Sanheim being out the other day, they put Myers up there. They've tried Ghost. They've tried Braun. And you have to put somebody on that top pairing to go along with Provorov. They will have flexibility to make a move. Not a lot of money under the cap, but they will make a move. Somewhere along the line, the Flyers will make a move. When things start to improve on the back end for them, that's where things are going to start improving for them. And they're scoring goals. Like, there's been 11 hat tricks in the NHL this year. A Flyer has scored a hat trick on 3 of those. James Van Riemsdyk has played really well. I mean, like, I've never saw this coming. He's been our best player. And we just got Couturier back. That is huge. He scored 2 goals the other day in his return. And then I read something. I know you were talking about like the whole thing with Carter Hart.
Oh, yeah. We're getting to Carter Hart. I read an article
on this, and it was funny because ESPN put this out yesterday.
Hold up for a second. It's funny that just ESPN put anything hockey related out. But yes. Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I go on ESPN.com, and Emily Kaplan, who's one of their NHL writers, she put this out there yesterday about why goalies are struggling so far in 2021. It's not just Hart who's struggling this year. So I'm just going to read a quick excerpt, if that's okay. One of the reasons that explains why through the first month of the season, the league-wide save percentage has been hovering around 900. Excluding the lockout-shortened seasons in 1995 and 2013, the last time a save percentage – was below 900 for the month of October, typically the season's first month, was 2005-2006, when it was 894 while coming out of a season-long lockout. Remember, there was no 04-05 season. A couple of stats that help explain the slow goalie starts. Penalty kills are struggling, which, you know, the Flyers are last in the league, tracking for a league-wide worst first month total since 1985-86. And according to Evolving Hockey, shooting percentages are abnormally high at around 8.5% at even strength. We're trending for the highest single season rate since 2007-2008. All of this comes after a significantly truncated training camp and the cancellation of all preseason games. Like, these goaltenders had nothing to get themselves ready for the season. And it's not just Carter Hart. This seems to be a league-wide problem, and scoring is up everywhere.
Well, you say that, okay, but I'm actually on NHL stats right now just because I wanted to make sure I got this stuff right. It looks like there's 40 goalies in the league that have above a 90% save percentage. Carter Hart is not one of them. He's like the 45th ranked goalie in that percentage. Goals against here, he is the 56th ranked goalie at 3.49 goals against per game. Now,
and that'll improve.
Now, this is like, you know, this is what, and this is where I want to get back here to this Lakers game we were talking about for the Sixers, and right. just the Sack, I'm gonna use you because you're the guy I'm talking to, but you also display this type of stuff. I'll get to Kyle the Gobbler next time that we're on the show together, him about his Lakers stuff, about the Lakers game stuff. But why? Listen, I'm gonna come clean here. I like the Flyers. Of course I like the Flyers. I want the Flyers to win every game. I want a Flyers championship more than I want anything else, except maybe a Sixers championship and another Super Bowl. But I want the Flyers. I like watching them. I love playoff hockey. I watch every game in the playoffs. I like them. I follow the Flyers. I don't know the whole league. But what I don't get is what I want. I don't want to bring the Flyers down when I make these jokes. What I try to use is the language and the comments and the criticism that are used, especially against the Sixers, back, use that same logic versus the Flyers. And it's like, it's not even apologies. It's like, oh, come on, like the Flyers, like, you know, they'll come around. Carter Hart is, it's not just him. It's injuries. It's the defensive pairings, like you said, slow starts, shots galore all around him. The Flyers not getting enough shots.
The fact that the Flyers aren't producing at the other end of the ice.
Totally 100%. Let me finish though.
Go for it.
He's still like the 43rd ranked goalie in the league out of 31 teams. So, like, I get it. It's just like with Wentz. Like, are all the interceptions his fault? No, but most of them are. Are all the sacks his fault? No, but it's even like the number one ranked goalie. Are all the goals he gave up his fault? No. It's the same on all, like, that's how you measure goalies. And he can't just be a straight stat guy. But, like, this is what I'm saying. If Carter Hart, and how do you get a goalie to be a point guard on the Sixers or a center or a shooting guard or whatever? Like, you can't just.
It's hard to compare sports.
It's not. Yeah. But let's just talk about performance versus expectations. Oh my God, this guy, we want to get Ben Simmons out of here on the next train out of town because he doesn't shoot three-pointers, which he should. But you know what I think goalies should do? They should stop pucks from going in the goal. And Carter Hart has been terrible this year at that. He's been terrible. And I don't want him out of town. I hope he turns it around. I think he's only 22. He's got time. But those are the kind of things that I say when we're like, hey, listen, Ben Simmons, he's young. You know, he's still got 14, 15 years left in his prime, you know, giving up on him now. I'm like, what are you talking about? We waited forever. Carter Hart and Ben Simmons were drafted in the same draft. They're the same. Their stories are so parallel as far as narratives around them. It makes me nuts that I don't want to say like the Flyers are Flyers fans are apologetic. They're just a little bit more reasonable with their team. And then the Sixers, this is what blew me off about this Lakers game. Wait,
are you giving us a compliment or are you smacking us across the face?
I'm not even giving you a compliment.
Is that a backhanded compliment?
It's not like I'm not complimenting you for being reasonable about the team that you're following. I'm not saying that. You're being realistic you're being realistic where it's like, you know what? They're winning.
Can I interject real fast?
Sure.
All right. I hate to tell you this, but. And I think you should know this. All right. Uh-oh. People care more about the NBA.
Oh.
And people care more about the Sixers in this town and in this country. It's just, it's how it goes. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and hide from it and shy myself away from it. I know as a fan, as a hockey fan, as a Flyers fan, that more people care about the Sixers in this town. But the thing is, though, is it hasn't always been that way. It hasn't always been that way. Like back at in the late 90s and early 2000s, this city was ran by practically two people. Two. Okay. Eric Lindros and Allen Iverson. They drove the town. And even like, you know, but the Sixers, I will give them credit on this. The process has changed their brand forever. Because now people are more gung-ho and more die-hard Sixers than they've ever been. I've never seen the fan base more rabid for the Sixers than they are right now. And that just has to, that just goes to show the kind of product that the NBA puts out there. More people care about the NBA than care about the NHL. It's just that easy. So there's going to be more scrutiny. There's going to be more criticism. You know, Ben Simmons is more in the limelight. People get frustrated with Ben Simmons because he doesn't do the one fundamental thing in basketball that everybody has. When you go to a YMCA, you go to a LA Fitness, and you go to a basketball court, what's the first damn thing you do? You pick up a basketball if you go to the basketball court, and you're shooting threes. That's the part that frustrates people about Ben. The thing is with Carter right now is not a lot of people are really paying attention to the aspect of it. All they're caring about is the fact that the Flyers are stacking up 2 points on a nightly basis, that they're second in the league in points scored. We're not blind to the fact that the Flyers are getting pretty lucky with the fact that they're winning some of these games, but they're winning these games. And I'm not sitting there saying that I'm happy about it. I'm not. That's the reason why I said with the Lakers game that I wanted them to close that game out. It was frustrating to sit there and like, yeah, it was exciting for Tobias. I don't know how many game-winning shots Tobias Harris has had in his career. Great for him. I'm excited for him, but I'm also pissed off at the fact that we put ourselves in that position to begin with, by not just simply giving the ball to Joel Embiid and letting him get a couple easy buckets to ice that game when the Lakers go on a 13-0 run with under 2 minutes left. That was stuff we used to kill Brett Brown about.
Listen, I get the overall, the NBA, this is why I just wanted to plan back with the process days. I just like, hey, the NBA is bigger than NHL. You can like them more. It's fine. Like I want, but this is, Sack, you are a somewhat reasonable person. Kyle, the Gobbler, Quimby's, I love Quimby.
Like
he's a good friend.
You, dude.
But the initial reaction after that Lakers game, was what you just said. And I'm like, hold up for a second. It was on national TV. The Lakers did not, they took that game seriously. They won the game. They won the game against, the Lakers are a better team. They're the favorites to win. They have the favorite for the MVP in LeBron James. Top player of all time, possibly top three, worst case scenario. They are the better team. Now, we were playing at home and all that stuff. We were up by 14 points. They gave up a 14-point lead. Not good. But they won the game. On one hand, you could say they were up by 14. They got to learn to close the game. But it wasn't like, man, whoo, that got close at the end, man. If they lost that, we would have been pretty pissed off. But they won. You're saying it now with the Flyers. Well, you know what? Like, they're playing like crap, and the goalie hasn't been good, and the defense hasn't been good. But you know what? They're winning games. And I'm just like, how can you say that? And in the next breath, it's like, I want to see them close out games. Like, why are we so much tougher? Like, I don't want to repeat what you said about the Sixers to make the Flyers sound shittier. I want to use what your logic of the Flyers were like, hey, listen, man, if they're playing this bad right now and they're still pulling out games, I'm okay with it. They got time to put things together. That's all I'm saying on the other side, as opposed to, wow, we just beat the defending champs. We're in first place in the conference. We have an MVP candidate on ourselves. We pulled it out at the game. It got dicey, but that's a good team. I feel good about this win. And no one was feeling good about the win. I was like, what planet am I on? We beat the defending champs. It's good. It's a good win.
Listen, it was a nice win. It was a good win. Yes, you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. If I was there and he hit that shot, yes, it's more exciting because you're actually there physically in the crowd. Maybe because I'm just sitting there on the couch and I'm watching the game by myself. You know, like, yeah, like I got excited in the moment when I found out that, you know, when I saw him hit that shot. But also at the same time, man, it's like, you know, I think what I wanted to see more was just the killer instinct, like putting them away. Just put their foot on their neck and imposing their will, saying, you know what, you got no shot to come back in this game. Because you know what's going to happen when they play the Lakers out in L.A., you know, whenever they play them next.
If they play them. Who knows what the schedule is.
You don't know what the second half schedule is going to look like. Or if they get to the NBA Finals, that right there is going to play into the back of their minds. We can come back on this team. It doesn't matter the deficit that the Sixers have us up against. We have shown before that we can come back at the end of the game. That right there was the part that annoyed me. It's not the fact that they won. Of course I'm happy that they won. It's just, it's the way that they won at the end of the game. Like, I don't, I don't,
no, no,
You know, like,
you're missing my point. I understand what you're saying, but that's that's the initial reaction all the time. It's glass half empty all the time. It's like, listen, if what I'm saying, like Carter Hart, Ben Simmons, Carter Hart might end up being the best goalie in franchise history. It's possible. He's playing terrible so far this year. Terrible. Terrible for what our expectations are. Ben Simmons has been playing a little bit better lately. He was playing terrible, at least offensively, at the first part of this year. We want to ship Ben Simmons. I can't stand it anymore. He is terrible. I can't see these stat lines. 3.5 shots. That's ridiculous. I get it. Like, I'm not saying that's wrong, but we want him gone. Carter Hart is, you know, he'll come around. He's better than that. And it's just like, well, it's this level imbalance. Like, I'm not saying if this is your worry level on Hart, you should be like this. I just want it to be even. The stories between these guys the franchises are so parallel. The Flyers get the best ranked prospect who fell in the draft because of injury histories. He loses almost 2 years of playing time. Embiid will never play. He'll never play. He's injured. I don't hear anyone talk about Nolan Patrick's injury history. That's why we got him at number two and not number one. Listen, it sucks that he got the concussions. It's terrible. I don't take it lightly. I'm not making fun of him. I don't think he's less of a man. But he had an injury history. That's why we got him. He's missed significant amount of times.
Even the guy that went number one for the Devils is mediocre.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, really, like, it's funny because, like, when the Flyers have drafted in the top two, we've like, Patrick, to me, is a better player. He's going to wind up being a player than Nico Hersheiser, who went number one.
Right.
I haven't really seen anything out of him with the Devils. But, like, the one that will always stick in our craw is the fact that we had the worst record in the NHL by 10 freaking points. And with the lottery, we got the second pick of the draft. Chicago got number one. They got Patrick Kane. We got JVR. And a few years later, Patrick Kane is the one scoring the game-winning goal against us in the
Stanley Cup. Right.
Like, you know, you sit there sometimes and you go, like, is this real? Is this reality? And then, like, you get a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins who are about to go bankrupt. We're about to be sold to, you know, to some business investor out in Kansas City for them to become the Kansas City Penguins. And then the next thing you know, here comes Lemieux along, and okay, all right, cool. Well, you get Crosby, and you get Malkin, and you get Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's like, you know, two of the – probably a top five great of all time in Crosby, a top whatever. I mean, like, Malkin's probably top 50. You know, all time. And then you have a top five goalie of all time and Marc-Andre Fleury in terms of wins are concerned. You get those three studs, and the next thing you know, you're winning 3 Stanley Cups in friggin' 11 years. It's unbelievable the amount of luck that some of these franchises get, but lo and behold, you know, it's the luck of the draw.
Yeah, I'm looking for just some I don't know, positive or just realistic on either side. Like Quimby, expectations for the Sixers are like, why? What are they different? It's so insane if you look at these two franchises, how their paths right now and where they are so similar. They're at the top of their conferences. They've got some great younger players, don't have a whole lot of playoff experience, have lost, have disappointed in the playoffs. They actually, their rebuild, if you start from the process to when they, you know, won a playoff series around the same time, the process started in 2013. Hextall started rebuilding through the draft in 2014. It's taken about the same amount of time. Hart and Simmons drafted in the same year. The Sixers luck into Embiid because of an injury concern that drops him from first to third. We get Nolan Patrick because he falls from first to second because of injury. Like, there's so many parallels, and you're right. Like, I get it. Like, everyone's played basketball. Everyone thinks they understand basketball. I'm not saying I know more or not, but you're a hockey guy and you're making the same things about basketball. You're not some guy that just like flew in on basketball. You know what you're talking about. You watch the games. And that's all I'm looking. I'm like, how can we be? The Sixers are in first place. Yeah, but I mean, who did they play? On the other hand, it's like the Flyers are in first place. Yeah, man, and they're not even playing well. It's like, well, if I just said Team X just beat the defending champs and it got close at the end and they won, if it was the Flyers just beat Tampa, they were up 5-2 they ended up tying it in the third period, but it won in overtime 6-5. Everyone's like, great win. The Sixers are up 14 points in the fourth against the Lakers. They come back and it's like, I don't know, man. And the other thing is, this team, when they don't have Embiid in, like, that's what we're talking about? Oh my God, it makes me nuts. It really, it just blows me up, dude.
You ever realize, dude, like, there are so many people that love to poke the hell out of you.
Oh, I know. I know.
It is unbelievable the amount of attacks that you get. It's like, and I get it, and I understand that now because I've been dealing with you for a few years. You know, like, so I know how it goes, you know, because I do it myself. But, like, you know, trying to compare the Flyers and the Sixers is not, like, yeah, I get all the tangibles that you're trying to put together. But the thing is, though, like, the Flyers fan base is one of the most patient fan bases ever. And the Sixers fan base is just trying to, like, they want their payoff. Like, we sat there and we watched crappy basketball for 4 years and, you know, when's it going to be our time? You know, trust the process. When are we going to win an NBA finals? Like, but like, or even get to one. Like, I think a lot of Sixers fans will just shut up and be happy if this team can get back to the finals. I've said it all along. The Sixers, since 1985, have been to one Eastern Conference Finals. They've been to one NBA Finals. This is one of the most abused fan bases in all of sports, across the board, all four of the top four sports. Like, I can put you up there in the pantheon with just about everybody else because there's been some terrible basketball. There's been some terrible basketball players. Sean Bradley, Andrew Bynum. You know, like,
hey, Andrew Bynum never played for the Sixers.
No, yeah, come on, salsa dancing and bowling. Like, there's been so many, like just terrible moments of the last 35, 36 years. And, like, this fan base is just starving. Like, they just want to, like, taste success. Like, it kind of feels like, in a way, like, we have a little bit of Cleveland in us, you know, because, like, it's been such a terrible road to hoe, you know, like, being a Sixers fan is a tough thing, and you're a diehard Sixers fan, man. I give you all the credit in the world. Like, you know, it's going to mean a hell of a lot more to you someday when they do succeed than it will for me. I'll be happy. I'll buy the gear. I'll go to the parade. But at the end of the day, I know deep down in your heart, it means way more to you than it does to practically anybody else outside of my best friend. You guys are huge Sixers fans. So, like, you know, I'm excited. I want you guys to succeed. I want you to get there.
It's just, I think what happens too is, like, the Flyers get in the playoffs and 2010, I don't want to say poisoned, but hey, you just get in the playoffs and anything can happen, which is more true in hockey than any other sport.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
And I think that, like, what people, like, it's like, well, the Sixers did this and they have Embiid and they have Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons, like Quimby said, he was the first overall pick. Go look at the last 25 years of first overall picks.
Kwame Brown was the first overall
pick. Yeah, you'll find LeBron. Yeah, you will. You'll find Anthony Davis. You'll find Kyrie Irving. You'll find number one. But, like, if you tell me, like, you can have the number one pick, the best player in the draft will be the top player, number one draft player, or the remaining 59. I'll take 59 every time. More often than not, they're not. Doesn't mean that they get a bad player, like a Markelle Fultz or Anthony Bennett or something like that. But it's like, who cares? He's on the team now. He's made some All-Star games. He's got some postseason awards. Does that mean he's the best player ever? No. It doesn't mean he's terrible. No. Once you're on the team, it doesn't matter where you were drafted. It doesn't matter where you were drafted. It matters how you perform and how you perform based off of the salary. It just makes me nuts where it really makes me nuts where I don't – it always makes me sound like I'm putting down the Flyers. All I'm doing is using criticism.
You're trying to be comparable.
I'm saying the criticisms that are levied at the Sixers that I find to be they're not wrong, but the level of
vitriol
that comes up against them, it's like, yo, man, like it's not that bad. It's not, you know, oh, you don't think Ben Simmons, like, listen, Ben Simmons does a lot of good things. He does a lot of good things. He's a big area of weakness for sure. Joel Embiid, he's never shot. I'm like, you're right. Now he is. We could see it. But also, I think, you know, getting a team around him that makes sense. You know, it's like, well, that helps too. Probably some better coaching as well. So I want them both to win. Why can't we have two long playoff stretches this spring, Zach? Can we get both teams in?
Dude, it would be a lot of fun for them both to be playing into late July. You know, like that would be exciting during baseball season. But a real quick sidebar.
We're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up. Yeah.
But you know, while we're talking about like the number one overall picks and the flops, like you know, like you said, like Anthony Bennett, Markel Fultz, Kwame Brown, like guys like that. While we're talking about that, what is your thought process like on college to pros? Like, do you like the one and done, or like I'm more inclined? Like, I think if you're good enough to come out of high school, you should come out of high school, like baseball does. You know, you can come out of high school and come right into the pros if you're good enough. Because like, there's some players that are good enough, like Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett and LeBron James. Like, eventually, all you know, down the road, these guys do come along and don't need to go to college. But if you do go to college, you should be there for 3 years like baseball, because I think it's affecting the college game and I think it's affecting the pro game. I don't think it's ever going to happen, Diaz, because these players, there's just too much money that's involved and they want them to go to college for a year. And, you know, they think that it, but like, I think it hurts the players in college before they come to the pros, you know, and then it hurts the professional game because these players aren't ready for it yet. They're not ready physically. They're not ready mentally. They're not ready when the money gets put in their pocket. And then these guys wind up flopping because they're not ready for all of that at the age of 19. What do you?
Well, I think it actually, you know, I'm not going to be real specific here because I don't have all the details and exactly how everything works. But I think there is a change, especially with LaMelo Ball playing in China last year, being the third overall pick and playing real well right now. I think we're going to see more and more of these players foregoing that year of college. What the current rule is, it's not that they need to go to college for a year, or you know, or like you said, they need to go to, or if they don't need to go to college. What the current rule is, they can't play in the NBA if they are less than 1 year removed from high school. They can play in China. They could play in Spain. They could play in Italy.
Right. You get my point, though.
Yeah, I understand. Right now, though, they've changed the rules for the G League, where players can come directly to the G League if they're considered. And I don't know how they do these rankings. I don't know. So just don't fault me on it. But, you know, like Ben Simmons, for example, if this is how it worked, they'd pay him $1 million. You go to the G League, you're with an unaffiliated franchise, which means you're not a feeder team to the Sixers or the Celtics or the Nets or whatever. It's like their future team, or they have a special vision team or something. It's all prospects. What they do is they train, they're professionals in every sense of the word, in that they eat, breathe, sleep. They become professional basketball players. They're just, the competition is lower. And then they enter the draft, you know, the following year. That, I believe, it's supposed to start this year. There's a couple of players that did not go into college to do it. Part about college is the branding that you get, Zion at Duke, and you know, just Kansas and all the other big teams in the country. I think it's going to change that to be that way. You're going to see more and more players being like, you know, why am I doing this college thing? I'll get $1 million right now, and I train all day. It's not that they worry about classes anyway. But what they do give up, though, is they give up the visibility. That's where it'll be different. Duke UNC was on the other day. Both teams are terrible, but I watched it for like 4 or 5 minutes. I don't even know. I'm like, what am I even watching this for? I'm just watching because it's Duke UNC. Both teams are bad. So I think it's going to be in the next 10 years. I don't know how the G League isn't going to be some elite level program, but I think more and more you're going to see more prospects go elsewhere. And that's also because players like international players, like Luka Doncic, Paul Gasol, give me some more other
Dirk Nowitzki,
but like
Steve Nash,
these guys are, well, Steve Nash, yeah, but he played, you know, in college. Luka started playing. Luka was a professional at age 16. You know, he was drafted at age 19, like as if he had played 1 year of college. So I think it's going to be not like a college rule. I get your year if you go to college. There should be a 3-year thing. I think that kind of, I'm more of a capitalist and like free market, that kind of, I don't know if I like that. But I certainly think we're going to see more and more like soccer style, academy, foreign teams playing in the La Liga in Spain or something like that, and then coming straight to the NBA without ever suiting up for a big college. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up here. We've been going for an hour and 15. And do you have any final thoughts here before we go?
Yeah, the Super Bowl the other day was absolutely atrocious. From the halftime show to the game itself, it was pathetic. I placed some bets and I had some block pools. I wound up winning back like $70 in one of my block pools. But in reality, and listen, when you gamble, you're prepared to lose your money when you gamble it. But losing my money would have been a lot easier if the game was actually entertaining. Because I'm sitting there rooting for a Travis Kelce anytime touchdown or a Mike Evans anytime touchdown, and neither of them really had a shot at either. And it was just a bad football game. It reminded me a couple years ago of the Rams-Patriots game being a bad Super Bowl and unentertaining. One of the things that you got to take in stride here with baseball, hockey, and basketball, if you have a primetime matchup that you're looking forward to and game one flops, you still have at least three more games to where they can make it up and make the series a good series, a watchable series. When it comes to the Super Bowl, if it's a flop, it's a one-time flop, and man, is it bad.
The ads were bad. I'm sure we'll talk about all this on Green Legion Radio on Thursday.
And Quimby's pop bets were bad.
Yeah. I mean, that was to be expected. I mean, come on. Who are we kidding? I actually ended up plus $20 for the day. I ended up like betting something like total, nothing big. It's just do it for fun. Maybe sure. $100, $150, a bunch of little $5, $10. I ended up $20. So, you know, that's, I won $20 for a night that, you know, nothing to write home about. Did you actually, before we go, did you see the about the streaker? Did you hear his whole deal?
Yeah. Wow.
He, about his bet he placed and everything.
What was it, like a $75 bet? And
No, $50,000 bet.
Oh, he bet $50,000.
$50,000. I think it was a 75-1 or something like that, or 750 plus 750 that there'd be a streaker. He won $375,000 or something like that.
But it turned out like the profit was like 374 because he had to bail himself out with $1,000.
Yeah, for $1,000. Yeah.
I mean, like, dude, I get the whole streaker thing, but the pink like Speedo leotard thong thing, like, bruh. And Kevin Harlan's call on that was phenomenal.
He's the best. I said it when we were watching the game. I'm like, we'll get a Kevin Harlan call on this. But we'll hit that on Green Legion Radio on Thursday. Everyone, thanks for listening in. Make sure you subscribe, download the iHeart Radio app. And of course, download, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, wherever else you want. We'll be back for Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler on Thursday. Thank you for Bud Light for sponsoring the show. And looking forward to seeing you soon, Sack. Let's go Sixers. Let's see how they do in the Sacramento game, man.
Yeah, go change some diapers, brother.
See you in a couple days. Peace.